Wait. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, draw an eye and give your attention, for this court is now in session. God save the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. The court will recognize the counsel to the clerk of the court.
Good morning, your honors. May it please the court. My name is Cary Sklar, counsel to the clerk of the court. And this morning I have the pleasure of moving the admission to the bar of this court of Ms. Karen Kennerly. Ms. Kennerly is a member of the bar of the state of Virginia and is an attorney at the Board of Veterans Appeals, and I am satisfied that she fully meets the requirements for admission to our bar.
And you move her admission?
I do.
Is it Kennerly or
Kennerly?
Yeah. Ms. Kennerly, welcome. Would the clerk please administer the oath?
Ms. Kennerly, if you'll please raise your right hand. And do you solemnly swear or confirm that you will conduct yourself as an attorney and counselor of this court correctly, according to law, and to the rules of this court, and that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States?
I do.
Ms. Kennerly, welcome to the bar.
Thank you very much.
And we enjoy having you, and we hope you do well here and as well as at the board.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The court now calls the case of Thomas E. O'Connell versus the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, docket number 041751. Who will speak for Mr. O'Connell?
Landon Overby on behalf of the appellant, Mr. O'Connell.
Thank you. And who will speak for the Secretary?
Tracy Alsop on behalf of the Secretary.
Thank you. Mr. Overby?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 10 minutes of my time for rebuttal, if I may.
10 minutes?
10 minutes, please.
Make it so.
Thank you, Your Honor. Joining me today at counsel's table is Zachary Stowes, also of the Disabled American Veterans. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. The court should reverse the decision of the Board of Veterans Appeals that reduced Mr. O'Connell's disability rating from 100% to 50%. The board specifically found that Mr. O'Connell was entitled to 100% disability rating for his post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, from June 22, 1994 to February 2000. The board then addressed the evidence from February 23, 2000 and thereafter and determined that a reduction was warranted from 100% to 50%. The board expressly found that this was a reduction. The board, however, reduced the veteran's disability rating in direct violation of statutes, VA regulations, as well as this court's case law. The law is clear that VA, or the board for that matter, is required to first provide notice before any reduction has to take place. And that notice has to be 60 days so the veteran may submit additional evidence or argument to show that the reduction should not have been made. The board neither provided in its decision the discussion as outlined under section 3.105E before it reduced the veteran's 100% rating, nor could it lawfully do so without first remanding the case to the regional office for preparation of a proposed rating decision that actually gave the veteran 60 days notice of reducing that disability.
What was the issue before the board?
The issue before the board, as listed on the title page, was entitlement to a rating in excess of 30%, the initial rating.
So this is a rating increase case?
When it got to the board, yes, Your Honor. But when the board did what they did, the board subsumed any prior action by the regional office. Therefore, it's the decision that the board determined that the veteran was entitled to 100% rating that is on review here at this court. The board determined that he was entitled to 100% rating from June of 94 to February 2000, regardless of what the regional office did. And then they reduced him. The proper remedy for the board would have been to remand the case to the regional office for any proposal to be taken place by the regional office itself.
Explain to me how this is a reduction when both ratings were in excess of the rating provided at the regional office.
Your Honor, the reason that it's a reduction is, again, because the Board of Veterans' Appeals decision subsumes anything that the regional office has done. And because they determined that he was 100%, it was as if the 30% never took place. That's the legal consequence of the board's decision. The veteran was entitled, as the board determined, to 100%. The reduction took place from 100 to 50. The 30% never existed once the board made their decision.
Counsel, that's a very creative argument, but I have a couple of questions along those same lines.
Yes, Your Honor.
The period for which the rating was increased was different, was it not?
I'm not sure I followed the question.
From 30% to 100% was for a certain period, and from 30% to 50% was for a certain period under the stage rating process.
That is correct.
So how does the stage rating process factor into your position that this is a reduction?
The 100% was established from the original date of the grant of service connection, June of 94 until February 22nd, 2000.
Right.
With respect to your question regarding stage ratings, we're not disputing that stage ratings can be assigned. The dispute is when the board takes from 100% down to 50%, that is a decrease in the rating. And that Fenderson never held that the board or the RO is precluded or may not reduce a rating without first providing the notice. I'm not disputing the fact that stage ratings can be assigned. The board, however, didn't take the necessary action to provide the veteran with requisite notice. And the board clearly found that this was a reduction when it even addressed particular reduction regulations.
Well, let me ask the question this way. Was there any overlap in time period with the stage ratings and the increased rating from 30% to 50%? Was there ever an overlap where the board decision included what you termed as a reduction from the 100% to 50%, overlap in time? That was the significance of my question regarding the time period.
I don't think that there was an overlap in time. One period was 100%, the other period was 50.
Okay.
I think there were two separate periods of time that the board determined in this case. And the first period of time, again, was from the date that service connection was established. And the board determined that that evidence warranted 100% rating.
Until a certain period of time.
Until a certain period of time.
And after that period of time, the board determined that evidence warranted an increase from the original 30% rating to 50%. Is that correct? I mean, was there ever any discussion in the board's decision of reducing the 100% to 50%?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, there's references to reductions, I understand that. But my question is, was there a discussion regarding reducing 100% to 50%?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Can you point that out in the record?
I believe it's at the board's decision at, if I'm not mistaken, excuse me, Your Honor.
Sure.
Page 15 of the board's decision, the bottom three paragraphs, specifically begin discussion about the reduction of the 100% rating to 50% because there was material improvement. The mindset of the board was we are reducing this particular disability rating. Otherwise, there would have been no need for them to go specifically through the routine of 3.343 or 3.344. And when the board found that this was a reduction, that we believe that this board is bound by that finding under this the court's case law in Roberson.
Did the board find that it was a reduction, or did it simply make a prophylactic argument that since this was not decided by the court, maybe we ought to discuss it?
Oh, Your Honor, I do believe they discussed it. I believe it's also a finding because this court in Faust has held the issue with respect to reductions. There's a two-prong thing to look at here. One is if the procedures were followed, it's a question of law that this court would review de novo. However, with respect to the actual ratings, here we have 100% decreased to 50%. That is an actual reduction reviewed for clear error under Faust. And therefore, it's a beneficial factual finding to that extent. We believe that under Roberson, it's a beneficial finding that this court can't reverse only to the extent that it is actually a reduction. However, the board didn't follow the proper procedures here. And because they didn't follow the proper procedures with respect to the notice required, the board improperly reduced the veteran's disability rating.
Let me follow up a little bit on the questions that Judge Davis was asking.
Yes, Your Honor.
And try to understand this a little bit differently. Mr. O'Connell had a 30% rating from the RO. He sought an increase. And for the period of June of 94 to February of 2000, he was granted 100% disability.
That is correct.
Right. So unless he was looking for special monthly compensation or something, there's nothing greater he would have gotten. Let's assume that's out of the picture. And has a 30% disability, and he says, okay, for the period of February forward, I believe I'm entitled to a higher rating. And the board assigns him only a 50% rating, even though in his mind he thinks maybe I should have had a 100% rating. What are his options then? It's just a straight appeal, right?
If the 100% rating never took place,
mm-hmm.
then yes, it would be a straight appeal.
Okay. Since there's no overlap here, when he appeals his 30% rating, and the board basically splits this into two time periods and says, look, for this period, this is what the evidence shows you're entitled to, and for this period, you're entitled to 50%. But there's no overlap here. How is that any different than a straight appeal, only divided into two time frames?
Considering the fact that what the board has done, and under VA's regulations as well as this court's case law and as well as the Federal Circuit's case law, the board's decision subsumed anything that the regional office did. So even in the hypothetical presented by you, Your Honor, 30 to 50, what the board did is the only thing that's on review here at the court.
Okay,
not what
so
the
you're, you're saying that the there's a legal fiction, I shouldn't say fiction, but the operation of law was he had 100 and what they did was reducing to 50.
That is correct.
Okay, so are you contesting that the 50% evaluation was inaccurate?
We have not actually challenged that here before the court, no, Your Honor.
Okay. The board reviewed, in its review, reviewed this on the same evidence that it would have, you know, had there been an actual reduction, I take it.
I'm not following.
Well, what additional evidence could the board, let me put it another way, how is Mr. O'Connell prejudiced by the board's action?
Sure, Your Honor. The prejudice is Mr. O'Connell, if he was provided the 60 days notice. I'm not disputing the fact that VA could eventually reduce that rating if actual material improvement is shown. But under the law, Mr. O'Connell is entitled to a right to submit additional evidence and argument as to demonstrate that evidence shouldn't be didn't show material improvement. For example, Mr. O'Connell could have had medical records that he never submitted because he was already believing that he was entitled.
Well, he's already seeking the highest rating. He's already seeking an appeal. He's already filed a notice of disagreement. He's got a statement of the case. He's been told why he was given a 30% rating. So it seems to me he has every notice and ability to submit as much evidence as he possibly has in order to get the highest rating. And all the board is doing is saying, okay, you've had your chance to submit all this evidence. We're looking at it. For this time period, you're entitled, yes, you are entitled to a higher rating, which is what you're asking for. In this time period, your rating is this, and this other consecutive time period, your rating is this. So I'm having a tough time understanding, since you haven't said that the 50% evaluation is improper at all, you haven't argued that, I'm having a tough time understanding what it is, how even if we were to invoke this procedure, how the individual is helped, or the other side of it is how he's prejudiced if we don't.
Well, the prejudice, again, he could have still made arguments that this is why the reduction shouldn't have taken place. The 100% rating, he's always maintained that he was entitled to, he was unable to work due to his service-connected disability. Therefore, it should be assumed that he's seeking the total disability rating. And when he was granted in the decision, for the first period of time, that was appropriate. But the board didn't follow the procedures. And the board isn't free to ignore any of the procedures, especially those with respect to reduction. And the failure to provide the notice to even, again, I'm not disputing that VA could have ultimately reduced that rating should Mr. O'Connell not be come in and provide any additional evidence or argument that because he thought he'd submitted enough. But he could, if he didn't do that, then the reduction could take place. However, he's got a legal and statutory right to the notice. And the 100 to 50 is a reduction.
But how would he have acted, differently? If they would have remanded it to the RO, how would he have acted any differently?
He could have provided arguments to demonstrate why that was not done. For example,
but the argument would have been to indicate his level of disability, right?
Would have been to indicate that the reduction should not have taken place and that there was not a material improvement from a 100% rating to a 50% rating due to the fact that, for example, he was mowing lawns. The VA's regulations dealing with total disability rating based on individual unemployability talk about marginal employment and the poverty threshold. If the regional office determines that because you're mowing lawns, therefore you're not totally disabled, he can make specific argument under your regulations, VA, I'm still under the poverty threshold, marginal employment, reduction should not take place, because it's very strenuous burden for VA to reduce 100% disability rating. The burden is on VA at that point to show that a reduction should have taken place, whereas the burden for an increased rating is entirely different.
Along those lines, counsel, let me continue with the line that Judge Hagel has offered. In an effort to understand how this would work practically, what is the impact on providing stage ratings if your suggestion, your argument is that it seems to me that it's almost in essence that stage ratings would be difficult to provide if you require the periods to be, if the periods are broken up and it's necessary to go back to the RO in order to meet the reduction regulations that you reference. Practically, how would this work? Are you in essence suggesting that stage ratings would really be useless?
I'm not suggesting that stage ratings would be useless, because stage ratings can go up, but there has to be that part of the process, right, where if they're going to go down at any point, whether it was 100 to 50, 100 to 30, 100 to 10, or 100 to 0,
right,
there has to be that process in which Mr. O'Connell can fully participate in with respect to notice.
Well, under the regulations, you're absolutely right. Well, let's talk about the circumstances here where the rating did increase from 30 to 50 over a separate period. In that circumstance, where the initial period, the rating increased from 30 to 100. The second period, the rating increased from 30 to 50. How practically would you apply the reduction regulations?
I believe it would
What would have to happen?
What would have to happen would be the Board of Veterans' Appeals should remand the case, and I think under current process, it would go to the Appeals Management Center for them to issue a decision indicating that there is a reduction taking place. That I think I haven't expounded it as much as I should have in my opening brief. Let me explain that with respect to what the board should do, they should remand the case to the Appeals Management Center, saying we've established 100% rating from this period to this period. We are not going to determine what's remaining for the February 2000 thereafter. We're going to leave that up to you. However, if you're going to take it down from 100%, you need to provide a proposed rating decision with the notice necessary by law.
If the IRO had rated this claim in exactly the same way that the board did in evaluating the initial rating, would the IRO have an obligation to go out and comply with the reduction process once it determines that any period of time was entitled to 100% or 80% and some subsequent period of time was entitled to a lower rating?
I believe it would, Your Honor. I believe the same process is applied throughout the system. Mr. O'Connell would have still been required to receive notice from VA that we've established 100% rating, we're going to drop it down to this level.
Go ahead.
So every reduction is a reduction regardless of whether it's in an initial rating or some other rating?
I believe so, Your Honor. And to try to illustrate this a little bit more, it's just similar to like a clear and unmistakable error. Because the only times that you're going to see from the regional office perspective a prior decision, say Mr. O'Connell's case where 30% was initially established, is one is where there's a DRO review, a decision review officer who has the authority to, without regard to what was done by the initial adjudicator, to actually determine that he was entitled to 100%. So if that was the situation, whatever happened with that initial decision is gone by the wayside. So he's, again, the same situation with the board, what we did here, is we had 100%. It's like a clear and unmistakable error in the fact that it's without regard to what was done previously. So any decision that revises or reverses on the basis of CUE actually revises that decision as if it never took place. And that's what happens when the board, that decision subsumes anything that the RO previously did. Your Honors, I don't know if I've answered your question. I see that my time is up.
Okay, well, you'll have some more time in rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the Court. The Secretary asserts that this is not a reduction compensation case. This case was an appeal from an initial assignment of a 30% rating from a grant of service connection for PTSD. The board then simply granted an increased rating in stages or staged ratings. The reduction regulations cited by appellant anticipate that appellant has already received a grant of a higher rating, and based upon new medical evidence, the VA seeks to reduce that rating. Specifically, 3.105E reads that where the reduction in evaluation of a service-connected disability or employability status is considered warranted and the lower evaluation would result in a reduction or discontinuance of compensation payments currently being made, a rating proposing the reduction or discontinuance will be prepared setting forth all material facts and reasons. Obviously, by the language that a lower evaluation would result in a reduction or discontinuance of compensation payments, we're talking about somebody who has received a decision and is in receipt of compensation for that decision. That is not the case that we have here today, Your Honors. The case that we have today here today is a situation where before the board acted, appellant was at 30%, and the board acted to increase him to 100% for the first period and 50% for the second period. That 30% compensation rating was never reduced. And in that case, in this case, the grant of 100% and 50% were granted simultaneously.
Now, if I understand the appellant's response to that in their reply brief. The appellant takes issue with that argument on behalf of the secretary by saying that the regulation, the appellant acknowledges the regulation, but says the regulation differs from the statute, and therefore it is, encourages us to find that the regulation is invalid. What's the secretary? The secretary hasn't had a chance to respond to that argument, so perhaps you could now.
Yes, Your Honor. The secretary responds that they are not in conflict. 38 U.S.C. Section 5112 B6, as cited by appellant in his brief, in his reply brief, goes on to say, I think he only cited a portion of that section, but it goes on to say, for compensation purposes, a change in service-connected or employability status or change in physical condition shall be the last day of the month following 60 days from the date of the notice of the payee at the payee's last address of the record for of the reduction or discontinuance. Again, the Secretary's position is that this is anticipation is anticipating some receipt of compensation benefits. If you look to A and B of that same section, again, it lists it.
Excuse me, you've got 27 minutes left. So if you could speak a little bit slower, I could perhaps write as fast as
okay.
you talk.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll start again. Again, in Section A and B of that 38 U.S.C., Section 5112, if you look at that, it says the effective date of reduction or discontinuance of compensation, dependency and indemnity, compensation, or pension. And we know that compensation is the case that we have here, and that's defined in 38 U.S.C. Section 101, and it in 13 states, the term compensation means a monthly payment made by the secretary to a veteran because of service-connected disability or to a surviving spouse, child, parent, or veteran because of the service-connected death. So again, compensation is defined in the regulatory scheme as receipt of payments. Again, this individual received a 30% rating that was never reduced in this case. There was no reduction of that.
Counsel, I understand your explanation in your brief, but perhaps you can reiterate why then the board talked about the reduction provisions.
That's an excellent question, Your Honor. And upon further reflection, the secretary is willing to concede that 3.343 and 3.44 may apply in this circumstance. And in any event, assuming it does apply, the board did address it. And so that would be the secretary's position. I know in my brief I said it was harmless error, but upon further reflection, the secretary is conceding that those may apply.
Okay. Could you explain a little bit as to exactly what you mean?
As far as 3.343 and 3.44 apply.
And the application and the impact
okay.
of the application.
Well, there's a difference in the sections. As you read the section 3.343 and 3.344, they talk about protection of a total disability, 100% rating. And in 3.343, it says total disability ratings when warranted by the severity of the condition and not granted currently because of hospital, surgical, or home treatment or individual unemployability will not be reduced in the absence of clear error without examination showing material improvement in physical or mental condition. The language in that implies that it's a protection just on an awarding of a total disability. It's separate than it's a separate language from 3.105. 3.105, as appellant points out, is the authorizing statute is 38 U.S.C. 5112, and the legislative intent or legislative history behind that statute. Is in 1962, there's a Senate report that indicates that Congress says that while they were drafting that statute, described person, this section provides a person receiving service-connected disability benefits a reasonable time to adjust to the reduction or discontinuance of his compensation benefits. So when Congress initiated or passed 38 U.S.C. Section 5112, and actually this was its precursor, but it's the same language. The intent behind that was to provide the person that was in receipt of compensation benefits an opportunity to adjust to the circumstance of losing that compensation. And so it appears that the statutes, or the statute and regulation that appellant is referring to, is different, and that it would not apply in this case.
Okay, I am totally confused. Are you conceding that this is a reduction?
I'm conceding that 3.343 and 3.344 may apply.